Welcome to Outs Now Podcast that amplifies the voices and topics which help us think of situations differently.
We are your hosts, Tanya and Janine. We believe that together we can make a difference by discussing important and even fun topics of our time.
Outs Now Podcast delves into the stories and experiences of individuals who have faced tough times. We uncover the hidden narratives in difficult topics.
Through this podcast, we strive not only to inform, but also to empower our listeners. Together, we can raise awareness and spark meaningful dialogue.
We believe that everyone has a role to play in shaping the world we live in. So join us as we oust now.
Throwback episode alert. Welcome back to Oust. Thank you to all of our listeners and social media followers. We are really, really excited for this episode. We have our very first guest speaker. As y'all may remember, our goal in this podcast is to help inspire people in sharing our experiences. And we think our guest speaker is a phenomenal person in inspiring women. Janine, can you talk a little bit about, can you speak to the background or the inspiration for this episode?
Yeah, you know how I'm always asking people, or we're always asking people to please, you know, give us ideas, tell us what's going on with you, you know, question, answer, all that kind of stuff. And so finally, Miss Taylor, she came up to me and she was like, hey, you know what? I listen to the podcast. I like it. Podcast is really my thing. And she's like, I got an idea for you guys. And I was like, okay, shoot. And she was like, I would love to hear something about women encouraging women. She was like, us just encouraging each other. And she was like, we are better together. And I thought about it. I was like, yo, that is an awesome idea. I'm like, yeah, that's great. And then the first person that came to mind when she said that was Miss Darlene Haygood, because of the ministry that she has. She has a wonderful ministry, Sisters Encouraging Sisters. And so I just wanted us to reach out to her. And I'm so excited that she said she would do it, that she would be a part of it, because yeah, she does a lot of stuff for not just women, but for the community itself. And I think she's great. You know, I met her when I was going to the church. We both attended church together, and I've seen her in action, and just listening to her talk, she's really encouraging. So yeah, I'm really excited about this.
I know when we were talking or trying to kind of coordinate everything, she sent me over a bunch of different things, or a few things that she works on, like My Neighbor's Closet. And then also I thought that this was really cool, Chemo with Style, for, you know, I don't know, I think it's a project that she's a part of or involved in, which I was really, I'm hoping that we'll have time to speak to some of that. You know, so for folks who are listening, she's very, 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 very busy. So the fact that we were able to get this time from her was huge. So, you know, we're excited. So here is Darlene Haygood from Sisters Encouraging Sisters Ministries.
Awesome. And again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to do this. I really do. Okay. And the first question that I had wanted to ask was...
Introduce her. Wait. You forgot the introduction.
We did on the other intro, remember?
Oh, we did. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Go.
It's not flawless.
Yeah, I probably got it.
No, that's okay.
But yes, ma'am. The first question I had wanted to ask was, I really was interested. I just wanted you to tell us about your ministry and what you do as part of the community. I know you shared that with us previously, but I would like you to just tell us more about the ministry.
Okay. Sisters Encouraging Sisters was founded in 2004. We actually made it official in El Paso, Texas. But God actually gave me the vision in 2003 when I was in Seoul, Korea. And I was on an assignment there with the U.S. Army without my family. And I've always had an ear for people, but I was there without my family. And God gave me an opportunity to really reconnect with women. And with Sisters Encouraging Sisters, our vision is about uniting a community of women through outreach in the Word of God, through education and information. And our pillars are health, fitness, debt reduction, and entrepreneurship. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And right now we are active in 5 different states with other women that believe in our vision and our mission, because our mission is to bring women in the community together to be encouraged with the Word of God and empowered through education to make a positive difference in their community. And so that's what our vision and our mission is. It's about uniting a community of women in the communities that God allows us to be established in. Because we are a faith-based organization, but we are not, it's not about your faith and you being a part of us, because it's not about your faith, about your age, your religion, your ethnicity, for you to be a part of us. All women are accepted in Sisters Encouraging Sisters, because our motto is, by my words and my deeds, I will lift my sister up. And so that doesn't matter who you are, that doesn't matter your age, your ethnicity, or your background, you know, you are a sister. And not only do we lift our sisters up, but we also lift our brothers and our children up as well.
So you said that your vision came to you in 2003. Did I hear that right?
Correct.
So what was the road? So you get your calling or your vision that this is your goal and this is what you need to do. What was your road to getting to Sisters Encouraging Sisters?
Like I said before, you know, I always had an ear to listen to people, but I've also always been, you know, like, I was like, I didn't like to be in a crowd or always sometimes in, because I won't say all women, but I never liked to be in the midst of women who were always about mess and about gossip. And of course, you know, when we're young, you know, we all go through our seasons, you know, of our teenage years, our high school years, but there comes a time when we need to grow up and mature. And what I learned was that, you know, the things that we do is what we attract. You know, and so when, you know, when we, and this may sound a little harsh, but it was a lesson that I had to learn. And I believe it was, you know, that I had to learn this before God was able to give me the vision for Sisters Encouraging Sisters, so that, you know, it was a pathway to help others, is that when people think that they can bring you garbage, they make you their trash can. And by when I mean by when they think they can bring you garbage, when people think that they can bring you gossip and they can, you know, come to you and talk to you about other people, about other people's situation, and not coming to you for resolve or for help, but they're just coming to you to dump stuff on, then they'll do that. And they'll come to you to make you their trash can. And there just became a point in my life that I refused to be anyone's trash can. And I think that when God showed me that by me allowing myself to allow people to bring me stuff without trying to be in a resolve for them, I was just allowing them to make me their trash can, that they could bring me stuff, dump it on me. And then now I had to figure out what was I going to do with this, that I just allowed them to dump in me, dump on me. And so refusing to do that, it just started without me doing anything of my own. My circle began to change, because when you don't allow people to make you their trash cans, those that carry trash, some kind of way they just seem not to come around anymore, because you're not a trash can anymore. They can't open the they can't open the lid and put anything in. So, you know, they find somewhere else to put the trash. And God allowed me to see that there were other women that needed to hear that and to know that, that they didn't have to be somebody's trash can. And when they made that decision not to be somebody's trash can, they didn't have to be alone. You know, there were other women out there that had made that same decision not to be someone's trash can. And when women get together, they can get together to encourage and uplift one another, to support one another. And that's, you know, kind of where our motto came from, you know, and our vision and our mission come from, to bring a community of women together, to encourage and empower and to uplift one another. And so it was out of, you know, desiring better for myself and for my daughters and for my community. And that community being, you know, with even in my own family, within my church, within the different circles that I traveled in, business and personal, just wanting better, and God showing me that it could be better, that when women came together, that it didn't have to be about mess, that we could come together and to encourage and uplift one another. I was serving in the Army at the time, and that women could work together, because we would always hear the cliche of women can't work together because there's always going to be, you know, some mess. But we were able to prove, you know, people wrong, that no, we can come together and we can work together and be successful together. And everybody come in the morning happy, and we leave at the end of the day happy. That doesn't mean that every day is perfect, but it means that we come in with the intentions of every day being a good day, and not with the intentions of coming in to do anyone harm with our words or our deeds.
Well, you talked a little bit about the vision. So I guess what I want to know is how did you know when the ministry was really making its mark, when it was really making a difference?
And I just kind of have to pause.
It's okay. Take your time.
And I'm just trying not to be emotional here. Because of the different things that we do in the ministry. And I think about this because I have the honor of being honored tonight, this Purple Gala, for the work that I do with women that are dealing with domestic violence. And I don't publicize what I do. And I've got people on my team that often say, more people need to know what you do. And because of what I do in counseling, yes, I want people to know that I'm a counselor and that there's help available. But because in our community, when you talk about counseling, first thing people want to say is, I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the mindset that we've had, that if you go see a counselor, it means that you're crazy, when that's so far from the truth. It just means that you've decided that the help that you need is beyond your own resources, and that you're willing to reach outside of your own resources. And so when you say, how do you know that, you know, we're meeting our vision, you know, that when someone else says, we want to honor you for what you're doing in the community, and I don't even know that someone's even watching what I'm doing in the community, and I just give God honor and glory for that, that makes me say, we're making a positive difference in the community. When I have someone come to our clothes closet and they're able to come in and they're able to get clothes for themselves or for their kids, and they say, you know, that they don't know what they would have done had we not been there. And I know that if somebody can come in and get clothes, and they can get clothes and the money that they would have spent to buy clothes for themselves or for their kids, now they don't have to worry about spending that money for clothes, but now they can spend that money on the rent that they needed to pay. So now they can keep a roof over their kids' head. That lets me know that we're meeting our vision and our mission.
You know, I just want to say a thank you. Thank you for your service. That's huge. And I also want to say congratulations on tonight's honor. I mean, that's amazing. You know, Janine has spoke so highly of you. And this is the first time that, you know, I'm hearing you speak. And, you know, we've kind of messaged each other back and forth. And I, you know, what an honor to really have you speak. So I'm really excited. I'm almost at a loss for words. But this, which is rare, because I am a talker. But the biggest thing I want to say, you know, thank you for your service. So I want to make sure that we honor that and your fight for our country, and then really to, you know, congratulate you for tonight's honor. But what do you think is the biggest thing that you've learned, or the one call out, and what you've learned from, you know, starting the ministry to where you are now?
Because this is ministry for me. In the ministry, I've learned that even when I want to say I'm done, because every day is not a good day, when I have someone, you know, that comes to the clothes closet and they want to fuss, you know, that we don't have this for them or we don't have that for them, or if they're at the end of the line and we've ran out of socks or we've ran out of deodorant or we ran out of something that they needed, and, you know, and now because we don't have that for them, you know, they want to fuss, or we don't have shoes in their size, and it's like, you guys never have anything for me. And, or they want to, you know, come in and I know that they've been drinking, or they want to fuss with someone in the hallway. And when I want to say, you know what, nobody is paying me for this. I'm not getting a paycheck for this. And sometimes the reality is my retirement paycheck is paying for this to be open. That I have to remember that this is an assignment and it's not about me. Mm-hmm. That it's not about me. And I remember, and I thank God that He reminds me and probably more now than ever, the words ring in my ear that my mom used to say, only what you do for God will last.
I'm almost speechless. So, Miss Darlene, you've got two talkers.
I didn't think this was going to be so emotional.
Yeah.
You guys talking about you can't talk, you guys have me in a place today.
Well, don't you think that we are our lives are all intertwined to a degree, right?
Oh, absolutely. And
we are placed in front of the people that we need to be placed in front of.
Oh, absolutely.
The right time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I believe that some years ago, Bishop T.D. Jakes did a series called Nothing Just Happens. And I remember I had the cassette, and that tells you how long ago that was.
No judgment.
Yeah. Right. Yes. I had the cassette, and I remember I was like, man, I used to just listen to it in my car. And one of the cassettes, he talks about how no one just comes into our lives, that we cross paths with them for a reason. And sometimes that reason is for us. And sometimes we cross paths with people for other people. And I don't know if at the time I understood that, but then later I understood that sometimes I meet people for other people so that I can say, oh, I know the person that I need to put you in contact with, because that's one of the things that I will often do is put people in contact with one another. And so sometimes God will allow me to meet people that I just need to connect. And so I didn't meet them so much for me, but I met them so that I could connect them with someone else. And he talked about how, you know, we will meet people for purpose and for reason. And it's not just because, you know, we just thought it was for no reason, but everything happens with it. You know, nothing just happens, but it happens for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it was so funny because my friend who had no idea how much I loved that series was coming to my house one evening, one Saturday, and we were going to make egg rolls. At least that's what we thought we were going to. We thought that was the reason we were getting together, just to make egg rolls. And I had no idea that she was actually bringing me the video of that same series.
Oh.
And yes, and because she had no idea how much I really liked that series. And so she brought me the video of that series, because at the time she was attending the Potter's House. And so we thought we were coming together to make egg rolls and to enjoy some sisterhood fellowship. But, and we did come together to make and made egg rolls, but God has something else in store. And we had an awesome time in God that evening.
Hello, everyone. Let me tell you about the Apple for the Teacher podcast. I'm Anna Thomas, a teacher and your host. So you're probably thinking it's about reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Well, think again. It's a fresh take on true crime, where you wouldn't expect to find true crime. In schools. Yes, schools. You will hear tragic stories about murder, abduction, school bus hijack, student disappearance, suicide, kidnap and ransom, a school camp tragedy, the list goes on. So if you're looking for something a little different in the true crime genre, then Apple for the Teacher is for you. So join me as I present The Bad Apples, But until then, remember to be a good apple.
That's really beautiful. Like, I almost don't even want to get to the rest of the questions. Like, I just want to listen to you talk.
Receive the messages. Right. Wow. Receive it.
But how can other women get involved with your ministry? And what other requirements? I know you said that all women are welcome, but just how can they get involved with the ministry?
Yes. Well, right now, and as we close out 2019, we have several events. You know, here in Columbia, one of our major things is our clothes closet. And we're always looking for volunteers to come and help us to sort through clothes, to hang clothes, to help out in the clothes closet. But in 2020, we will start back up our, and I'm either going to do it either monthly or quarterly, but we used to do meetings where we would just get together and come together for sisterhood. And when we opened up the clothes closet, because that was really time consuming, I kind of got away from doing that because of how much time the clothes closet took. But thank God for volunteers. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. And so in 2020, we will, and I will definitely let you ladies know, and so that you can share it with your audience, that we will start doing either monthly or quarterly meetings where we will just come together for sisterhood, and where we will be able to share, and we will either get together for a breakfast, or we will come together for girl talk sessions, because I like to do things where they are at very low cost or at no cost at all, or we can have a combination of them both. Because I know that, you know, a lot of times we're working on a budget, and just because we're working on a budget doesn't mean that we can't come together and fellowship and be encouraged and uplifted from one another. And so in 2020, we will start that again. But our biggest things right now is the clothes closet. We will be doing families helping families. And I'll share that information with you as far as when we will start collecting items when we receive our families and what their requests are, because we normally try and support one or two very large families and some seniors and about two or three other families. It really depends on the support that we get, because again, we are a nonprofit organization, and we're supported by those who support us. And because sometimes, and I'm so thankful that when we put the call out, there's just somebody out there just saying, you know, where can I help? And they kind of come through, and I'm thankful for that. And in December, we will do, it's the second Tuesday in December, but we will collect the items by the first Tuesday in December with a chemo with style for our sisters that are going through cancer treatment, that we will collect hats, scarves, and wigs for them. We ask for new hats and new scarves, but we can accept new or gently used wigs, because we do have someone that will take the wigs and clean them up and restyle them for the ladies. And we donate those to the ladies that are going through their treatment and to help them feel better about themselves as they go through, you know, their treatment. And we'll do that in December as well. And there's usually a couple of other events that will come up in November or December that we will support with clothing. And I always, with our regular volunteers, let them know if there's an effort that is going on in the community or if there's a family in the community that we know that need help. And if we can help, you know, we're only a phone call away, because there is no reason for us to have a closet full of clothes and there's a family out there that needs help. We're there in the community to help those in the community. And so, and I say that to say that one of the biggest ways that people can help is just getting the word out that we're there in the community to help those in the community that are in need.
So, you know, when we have some time, I would like to make, can you send us like regular updates, or I guess maybe message me some of the things, you know, as they're about to, I guess, happen, just kind of let us know. So maybe we can kind of post on it, about it on our social media, and then maybe do some advertisements on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Just so we can kind of get the word out. So we'd really love that.
Yeah.
As a means of, you know, supporting the ministry.
Yes. Cause I can, I can send you the Chemo with Style, cause I have the flyer on that.
Okay.
Nails. And then I will also be able to send you the Families Helping Families. I can send you that once we get the families, because then we'll know their requests.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, I know, you know, the initial vision was to empower, you know, women, but you said that men, you know, it's also for men and children. So how can men be supportive of the ministry? And yeah, how could they be more supportive of the ministry?
Well, when I say that we support our men as well, of course, with our counseling services, I do provide counseling service for our men, our clothes closet. We have clothes for women, men, and children. When I talk about children, we have clothes from newborns all the way up to, you know, high school kids. And our men can support our ministry by donating, you know, clothes to our clothes closet, volunteering for, you know, the same thing for our clothes closet, and just in spreading the word. I have male volunteers, because on the fourth Saturday of the month, like today, we are out in the community on downtown on Taylor Street. And right across from all the way at the end of Taylor Street, right across from the Holiday Inn, we are there every fourth Saturday with other organizations that provide services to the community. We're there providing clothes and shoes every fourth Saturday. So we're open in our 1717 Gervais location on the first and third Saturday, but we're out on Taylor Street on the fourth Saturday. And so men can get involved, you know, by volunteering, by donating, and spreading the word as well.
Well, I have a question as far as what is your recommendation, or what are some suggestions as far as ways that we can encourage ourselves along the way? What are the ways women can encourage themselves, you know, on a day?
And I know that sometimes that is, it's easy to say, you know, sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. It's an easy thing to say, but I think that on a daily basis, we have to make an individual decision, you know, kind of to say, if nobody else encourages me, if nobody else uplifts me, if nobody else loves me, I'm going to do those things for myself. And to be able to look ourselves in the mirror, look at ourselves in the mirror, and like what we see in the mirror. Because if we don't like what we see in the mirror, then we can't expect anyone else to like what they see. And so I would say on a daily basis, we have to make a positive affirmation to ourselves and just kind of look in the mirror and say, I love me, flaws and all. Just, I love me. Because every day isn't going to be a grandiose day. You know, every day we're not going to feel our best. But if every day we can say, I love me, then that's enough to get us to pick ourselves up. And we can deal with whatever is going to come our way in that day. Because when we don't love ourselves, that's when we get to a place that we could find ourselves allowing others not to love us. Mm-hmm. When we treat ourselves any kind of way, then we'll let others treat us any kind of way. But when we learn to love ourselves first and a lot, and know that it's okay for us to love on us, and we recognize when we're not loving on us, we'll recognize when others are not loving on us. So I'd say have a daily affirmation that, and maybe you paste it up on or tape a bathroom mirror, a place that you go every single day that you can't help but to see it. And if it says nothing more than I love me, or you know what, today is going to be a good day because I'm going to make it so. Or one of my favorite Bible scriptures is 1 Corinthians 2:19. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man that which God has in store for those who love him. And when I hear that, it just makes me think, no matter what my biggest dream is, no matter what my biggest thought is, it does not compare to what God has in store for me because I love him. And that just encourages me to dream even bigger, to think even bigger. Now, did I always think like this? That I always dream like this? Absolutely not. Because I was that little girl, that little dark-skinned girl who thought I had these big lips, these big eyes, this big nose, that I thought I was this ugly kid. And I had to deal with that. And I had to learn to love me. And to believe that I am wonderfully and fearfully made, that I'm beautiful in my own skin, and not to compare my beauty with someone else's beauty.
Oh, excuse me while I wipe my tears.
Look, we got to do it. You got to do it every day. Because the days that we don't, those are the days that we hear those little voices in our head that creep back in there that want to tell us those negative things.
How do you think, or I guess, what are some of the reasons that you see in your ministry as to why women are not more supportive of each other?
Oh, I think a lot of it is, you know, learned behavior, you know, what they see on TV, what they see in their homes, you know, what they hear in their homes, what, and the sad part of it is even what they hear in the church, you know, because little girls don't learn how to talk about one another, you know, out the air. They learn it because they hear it and they see it. You know, that's what is portrayed on the TVs. You know, that's what they hear in the music. You know, and it's not until they see something different, they hear something different, and that they choose to do different. You know, that saying that, you know, when we know better, we do better. That it has to be a conscious decision. That, you know, when you know that when you say something about somebody, that it's hurtful and it harms them, you get to make a choice whether or not you continue to do that, or you're genuinely sorry and you choose to do different.
Oh. I know that you're tight on time today, so I know. And we started a little bit late. I did want to kind of give you, you know, if there's like, because I know we've covered a lot and we've talked about a lot, and I'm really inspired. And when I say I'm a little bit at a loss for words, I really, you know, I am, because this has been so, you know, uplifting.
Right.
So when you look at what we've talked about, like, what are some of the things that you think we've missed that you would like for women to know?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that I think that we've missed anything. But when it comes to sisters encouraging sisters, you know, I would say that, you know, a takeaway, if that would be, you know, something to close out with, or something for the women to, your listeners to take away about sisters encouraging sisters. You know, I would say that I would really want them to take away our motto, and that is, by my words and my deeds, I will lift my sister up. And because those words really mean that each of us individually take it a personal responsibility, that we will be mindful of our words and we will be mindful of our deeds, our actions, to make sure that they are uplifting and encouraging to our sisters, and that they are not harmful, that they won't cause harm, that we take the responsibility from one sister to another to be encouraging and uplifting. And when we see another sister not being in that way, that we love her enough to check her, but check her in a loving way. And that loving way just may mean that we don't allow her to be allow her to make us her trash can. You have an issue with another sister. Okay, so what do you want me to do? You want me to go with you to her to talk to her about that? Because I'm not going to allow you to sit here and just bash her, because it's not helping you and it's not helping her. But that we would, as women, as young ladies, even as seniors, as our more mature women, would just begin to look at what our responsibility is and be accountable for the uplifting and encouraging of one another. You know, that we get back to that place where we talk about it takes a village, and we be a part of that village to raise those in our community through encouragement and love. Because everybody's not going home to a loving and caring home. Everybody's not going home to somebody opening the door and with loving arms, walking into loving arms. But if they could just encounter somebody that has a kind word for them, that has an encouraging word for them, that has an uplifting word for them, that may carry them through the next day. So if we could just be accountable and responsible individual women, we could make a positive difference, not only in our own lives, but in another sister's life.
That was powerful. That was so powerful. Miss Darlene, I do want you to know you have like an open invitation.
Anytime you have some time and you want to, you want to speak on, you know, empowerment, encouragement, you know, this is an open invitation. You know, today was, you know, a little bit rough and with technical difficulties, but we would like to do this again. We would love to do this again.
I would be honored to. And I want to applaud you ladies and what you are doing, because I know that I don't know your whole journey, but I know that your journey hasn't been easy. And as you are led to share pieces of your journey to encourage others that, yeah, you may have a rough journey or your journey may be hard at times, that doesn't mean that life has to be hard, because we all have some bumps and bruises along the way. No one's road is straight. We all have some twists and turns, but it's how we deal with those twists and turns that determines what the straight part looks like and how long we're in those twists and turns. But I commend you ladies for what you're doing, because what you're doing is exactly what we do. And that's trying to encourage, trying to empower, trying to uplift, trying to show people that, you know, life is life and some days are better than others. You know, but because on this day, we've been blessed with another day of life. You just got to make the best of it.
You know, I mean, you okay? I am. You know, I'm a big crybaby, like we've already. I just wasn't expecting. And that's why I'm kind of quiet. It was truly an honor, because of my past encounters with you. That's why you was first to come to mind, because you're always so positive and honest. You know, and I really, really appreciate that. I'm so, so honored that you really participated in this. It really means a lot. Like, I can't even articulate my words to express that. I really appreciate that you did this with us.
I am honored that you ladies asked me to participate in this, and because There's a lot of women out there that are just trying to make a positive difference in the community. And I'm just one of those women that it's not about how big the number is, but it's one community, one sister, one family, one community at a time.
Miss Darlene, are you going to send us some pictures of tonight's gala?
Oh, I will.
Right. Because since, you know, I'm all the way in North Carolina, I would love to kind of see, you know,
I will.
I'd love to see that. Congratulations on tonight's honor.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I am honored. I am honored.
And, you know, thank you again.
I honor the survivors, because we're going to honor survivors as well. I honor them.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, Janine, I know, you know, we next month, well, with the holidays coming, I know the holidays are going to be right upon us.
Yeah.
And we're looking at
for the next at least foreseeable 3 to 4 weeks, we want to speak to, you know, helping others, you know, suicide. That's a, you know, usually the suicide rate will kind of go up around the holidays. So we're kind of, we want to speak to that in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we want to invite you back to speak on one of those episodes.
Oh, I'm, yeah, just let me know. Because because the reality of it is that, you know, the highest suicide rate is really in February, March timeframe. You know, because people kind of get through the holidays because we all put on our happy, happy, glad, glad through the holidays. And, you know, when people go spend money that they don't have through the holidays, and, you know, and it's in January and February that the bills start coming in. And now people are trying to figure out how are they going to pay for the happiness that they tried to create in November and December. And then, of course, you roll into February, and then people, you know, everybody's supposed to be in love and have somebody to love. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, that reality sets in that they, some people say, okay, but I don't have anybody, you know. But, and a lot of people think that, November, December time frame, you know, you got a lot of people, you know, that, you know, are going to be spending time alone. But, you know, a lot of times people are, you know, people are doing things on the job because, you know, a lot of jobs have the holiday get togethers, you know, doing a lot of things, families are getting together. So times that people would normally be spending by themselves, they have multiple opportunities to spend with other people. And it's after the holidays that you find a lot of people fall into depression and suicide ideations begin to flow more often. And so it is during the November, December timeframe that we talk about, you know, suicide prevention more. So in the hopes that when that time does roll around, people will have tools and they'll be equipped with knowledge and information that even if they have that thought, they'll know that they have some resources available to them.
Darlene, thank you so much. This is powerful. I'm really happy that you agreed to join us and that, you know, you're considering coming on for maybe for one of our upcoming episodes as we do kind of target that. You know, I love how you said, you know, it's a permanent solution. How do you manage these things without it being a permanent solution? So that's huge.
And then today, you know, with social media, especially with our youth, you know, just with my counseling service, you know, I recently changed it. I'm thinking about changing it from less talk solutions to, and it'll still be, you know, we're talking about solutions. It's let's talk, let's work, you know, because we are there to help you be more resilient to deal with life situations. And but that's what it's about building resiliency so that when life comes at us hard, it doesn't come and we crash and we break and we fall apart, but we have tools to be able to bounce back. Because that's what being resilient is about, is being able to bounce back when life comes at us hard.
So I kept thinking, and I know I'm kind of squirreling a little bit, but I kept thinking, I said, all right, I mentioned earlier, you know, we cross paths and we put people in front of each other that are meant to cross at that time. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure who this message is supposed to be for just yet. I don't know, but for, you know, if anyone that's listening to this episode, we just hope that you've found encouragement, empowerment. If you have any questions, you know, leave us a message, you know, social media, wherever you want to leave us a message, you know, you have the phone number to, you know, for Outs podcast, please reach out, you know, and if you would like more information on the ministry, please, you know, send us a message and we'll get that information over to you. We think it's really important work. And, you know, if there's a way that you can contribute to Sisters Encouraging Sisters, we, you know, we'd love to put you in touch with Darlene so y'all can make that happen. You know, like I said, you know, we want to, of course, help promote between, you know, posting some of the upcoming events that are going to be, you know, happening on our social media. And then, of course, maybe some advertisements on the podcast dedicated to you. So that way we can help get the word out and try to do our part. Yep.
Yes. Can I just give the where they can connect with us?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You know, you can connect with us through our website, Sisters Encouraging Sisters. On our website, we are on Facebook. On Facebook, you'll see several pages out there for our different chapters. We have an old chapter page. We have our Columbia chapter page. And stay tuned to that page for our local meetings that we will begin to have in the upcoming year and the different events that we will be having. And you can also a phone number. And as you were speaking about reaching out, if someone listening to this and you know that you need to reach out to someone for counseling, please do not hesitate to reach out to me at Let's Talk Solutions. And our number is 803-509-1833. Again, Let's Talk Solutions. If you are in need of talking with someone, find yourself in a situation where you know that you need to talk with someone because you need counseling. It's 803-509-1833. And we are always open to donations. That is what allows us to keep our doors open to financial donations, to keep our doors open to provide the services we provide, because we do have one office for our clothes closet and we have another office for where we provide our counseling, coaching, and mentoring. So thank you.
Darlene, that's a wrap.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for listening to our episode, Women Encouraging Women, with guest speaker, Darlene Haygood, founder of Sisters Encouraging Sisters Ministries. Not only is she the founder of this ministry, she's also a writer, teacher, mentor, licensed counselor, and a veteran. We thank her for her service and for speaking with us. To find out more about this ministry, go to www.sistersencouragingsisters.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate your support, whether you're listening to our podcast or even following us on our social media pages. Please check us out on our website at www.oustnow.com, where you can find out where you can listen, all those platforms that we're available on. Don't forget to leave us a message with feedback.